This podcast features adults using adult language. You've been warned. This is Battle Res Bears. My name is Ursangus. Welcome to the podcast for reviving new and returning raiders. As I said, my name is Ursangus. I am a guardian druid on Airy PQS. With me, as always, well, most of the time anyway, is Mudala. Say hi, Mudala.
Hello.
So, if you guys are new, what we do is we talk about some of the pertinent issues that are occurring in World of Warcraft and how to prevent, how to succeed, and how to be generally not a dick when it comes to being a person in general. So,
which, coming from us, is quite hilarious.
Indeed, indeed. I have the capability to be a dick. So what we're actually going to cover, we've actually got quite a few questions that came in for this episode. We're also going to be covering something that not a lot of people encounter, but they do, even if they're not aware of it. We're going to talk about guild leadership this week. And it's going to be a hefty topic, so that is the only topic we're going to cover outside of questions. So, by now, you should know how to form a guild in-game. You got a Stormwind or wherever, get a charter signed, you know, in-game, and 10 signatures, you know, 500 gold later, you've got a guild. That's for people who have to pay for signatures, and it sucks.
Yeah, usually doing that as a bank stuff.
Yes, yes. So, how to manage your guild properly is kind of a hot topic for a lot of people. To start off with, I think that you need a fantastic charter. A charter is pretty much an agreement you set up with members. To, okay, here are the guidelines, follow them. Yeah, sometimes you read his, you know, signature, but generally these are rules and guidelines for your guild. The most pertinent thing you can do about a guild charter is actually to be clear on the rules. And there could be a number of rules in there. Some of the best ones I've seen are age restrictions, depending on whether or not you're going to be family friendly. Guild bank restrictions, repair restrictions. Those are typically the topics you want to settle on. Those are going to be your hot topics when you actually form a community like this. Be clear about what guidelines you're setting up. And the other thing about any charter, and I'm going to fly right through this topic. Don't be afraid to make changes to your charter. And when it comes to that, let your members know when you make changes to the charter.
Why?
Why? You, what? What?
You're the boss. To hell with it.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. The title of this podcast is Ren's in Charge of Our Days and Our Lives. And I throw it to Mudala. And he doesn't remember the theme. That's okay.
If you can see, I'm just glaring at him right now for that title.
So when it comes to guild charters, be clear. When it comes to revising your guild charter, it might not be a bad idea actually to bring in your officers as well. And we'll start talking about how to delegate, you know, and appoint officers and their duties and a couple other things. That's a little bit further down the line. So charters, be clear. It's also a great place if you have any sort of communication tool set up as far as Mumble or Skype or Ventrilo. It's a great place to include that information as well. So, Moo, do you want to start off with the next point?
It's obligations to the community that you're trying to build, such as, well, once being present. I mean, you're the one starting this up. You're the one that everyone's going to look to. So be there. You know, it doesn't have to be on the character that you started it with. You can be on an alt, whatever, but you need to be there.
Well, it's pretty straightforward. Yeah. Honestly, when we refer to being there, now if your guild is only 10 people, the likelihood that you're going to need to be there on a consistent basis is pretty slim. You're typically not going to have to deal with that. However, if you've got 300 plus individual members, God damn it. If you're going to have a significant number of members, you're the leader. That means you have to be kind of be present because, well, honestly, it's a good show of support and you never know when issues are going to crop up. Now, part of dealing with issues that crop up is going to be delegating officers. But ultimately, when decisions come down about the guild itself, you are going to be the authority in that. So you need to make yourself available. GroupMe is great in the respect that you don't necessarily have to be in game to actually delegate or make decisions. It's fantastic. You know, if you're on a vacation and something pops up that you needs immediate attention, GroupMe is great for it. There's also a Mumble app out there that you can use. I think Venturlo's got one as well that you can always use through a phone.
Yes.
Now, the other side of that coin is you are still a player. So you're not expected to be on call when it comes to a guild. There's nothing, it's still a game. Yes, they are your friends, but do you have to be on call 24/7 for in-game issues to pop up? No. Speaking as I've been GM of a couple guilds myself and been officer in every guild I've ever been in, I've risen to an officer rank of one kind or another, be it a class lead, a raid liaison, you know, raid leader for just that guild's team. I've been there before, and I've honestly been in situations where I had to have been on call 24/7 for a guild for a couple days at a time. It's rough. Recognize that you are still a player and you still want to play the game. And that's, again, going to come down to delegation to your officers. Moo, do you have any thoughts on this?
Honestly, you pretty much covered it all right there.
Yeah. When it comes to walking softly and carrying a big stick, you don't have to wave that band stick or that band hammer constantly. If anything, your member's going to feel threatened if you do that. That's part of being present and making your presence known. You'll find that you have to wave that band hammer or wave that big stick a lot less if you make yourself known. And I've put this into practice before and it works fantastically. To where if you just make it known that you're around and that you are actually looking at guild chat, people will behave. And you don't even have to make an example of anybody. It works.
Don't be afraid to use that stick if you need to, though.
Yes. Things like harassment, violent outbursts. There are always going to be cases where you will need to wave that banhammer, and you'll have to become Gallagher for a very short time. I know our GM and CTR did a wonderful bit about this, where all of his officers are supposed to be this nice, serene lake, and he's Gallagher. He's got the hammer, and he's smashing a watermelon. And in some cases, as a GM, you will have to swing it. There's only so much you can do inside of your community to actually enforce it. But let me tell you that Blizzard, well, at least in this game, Blizzard is great about responding to threats of harassment and serious issues. Blizzard's customer service is phenomenally good about dealing with that sort of thing. And something you should honestly, if you ever have the need to file a ticket about harassment, thank them for their time, because it's not an easy job. Some of the things that pop up in game, they deal with a lot of very minor things. But when it comes to the heavy-handed stuff, as far as harassment goes, that's a tough job. That is an extremely tough job. So when it comes to your members, same thing. Being a GM is not an easy job. By no stretch is it an easy job. Being an officer is not easy either. So as a member of a guild, thank your officers for their time, because they don't get paid for this.
Thank you, Ursangus.
Thank you, Moo. But so, it's a rough job, but ultimately incredibly rewarding taking on that leadership position.
Oh, yeah. It's always nice to look back and say, I helped put this together. You know, we stay together because of what I started.
Mm-hmm. It works, Finn. It's so rewarding at the end of the day, because even if you end up getting together in real life, it is so nice to get together and actually have a group of people together, and they still look to you. Even outside of game, people will still look to you for advice. And I love that. And that's why I love it when people send us questions. That would have been a great segue if we were done for this topic, but we're not.
Not by half.
No. So the next bullet point in this is going to be, it's going to talk about guild banks, materials, and gear. Really, all of this should be outlined in your charter, truthfully. I remember back before there were such a thing as guild banks, and I can't remember when they instituted them, but it used to be that an officer would have to have an alt that just had a ton of storage space for all the materials, all the gear, any sort of repair money. It used to be a nightmare to manage. The guild banks are so easy to manage anymore, especially if you're a GM.
They can still be a nightmare, though, depending on how big your guild bank is, how many people you have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to keep in mind, you know, keep track of who's pulling what out, how much you have, depending on what you're trying to use your guild bank for. And, you know, talk about repairs. Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
The more people you have trying to use it, the quicker your money's going to go, especially now that they took that guild perk out.
Oh, yeah. And that's something we run across in Convert to Raid all the time, where we've got so many raiders that we deplete our gold reserves routinely, every week, easily. And, you know, just for example's sake, we set up 75 gold per raider per day. Now, you figure one guild may have 100-plus raider ranks. Okay, one day, 75 gold a person. That's 7,500 gold in one day. And we have teams, at least in CTR, that are raiding 3-4 times a week. So you multiply it, and it gets ridiculous as far as gold management goes. So your repair should be adjusted according to how many raiders, or basically how many people have access to it.
And contributions. If you're using it, you should replenish it.
Yes. And a lot of people will kind of throw a fit about that. But there's also guidelines on what you can deposit into the guild bank, which unfortunately there's no way to filter those out in game right now, where somebody can easily just throw a level 5 green into the guild bank. The guild bank is not a trash can. And I know the head of our bankers in CTR probably doesn't listen to this podcast, but
it's bad.
It's real bad.
We were talking, you know, how many people have access to guild repair. Well, they have it set up to where everybody has access to the first two tabs. So you can deposit into those, and people will just, whatever they don't want, they'll throw in there. And granted, a lot of people think, hey, I'm helping out the guild by putting this stuff in there. But when it's stuff that, you know, is worth more in vendor than it is on auction, or is, you know, two expansions in the past and nobody really uses anymore, mm-hmm. it's just taking up space.
Yeah, I remember the last time I had any sort of responsibility as far as guild banks went, it took me, and it was just one guild bank. It's, let's see, 7 or 8 tabs. And it took me 6 hours to clean and sort. Something like guild bank management can be a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend you delegate that.
Especially if you have a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because people will dump shit in your guild bank. vendor trash. They will dump level 13 greens, which we're now, what, almost on 6 expansions into World of Warcraft. I'm sorry, but vanilla greens? Oh, it's for twinking. Nobody twinks anymore. Nobody twinks anymore. And it's so fast to level nowadays, especially with the quest reward revamp they did. It's, you just don't need low-level greens anymore. Even low-level blues. And truthfully, epics? Not really.
No, because you out-level the usefulness of the epics anyway.
Yeah, you go through it, especially with heirlooms in place now, you... The viability of low-level greens and blues and epics is just, it's just not there anymore. Transmog's a little different story, but if you're wanting that stuff for Transmog, don't put it in the guild bank. Keep it. And I can't wait to see how they revamp the Transmog system in Legion.
Yeah.
Because there's rumors of it going to a Diablo-style kind of Transmog, which Diablo 3 did Transmog right.
Yeah, they did. Once you learn something, you have it. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, so. You can vendor the gear or do whatever with the gear. You have that transmog model open to you now. So I hope they take a page from Diablo 3, which I'm kind of assuming they do. But it'll be amazing. I can't wait to see what the transmog system is going to turn out to be. So we've been touching on delegation here a little bit. This is more or less how to appoint officers. The key thing in this is appoint people you get along with. I don't know why you would do otherwise, but I have seen it to where GMs will promote people they don't like because of seniority. No, that's probably not a good idea. It's important to have people who have a different opinion than you on your staff for valuable feedback. But if somebody's constantly hating you and hating on the guild, I don't think I need to say this, but don't make them an officer. Mm-hmm. That's a bad policy. That's a troublemaker is what that is.
And having the same opinion or having is not the same or sorry, having different opinions does not mean that they shouldn't be of the same mindset. You know,
that's true.
They should understand and, you know, be at least on the same page as where you want to go, how you want to accomplish things. Different ideas are great. That's what makes things thrive. But just promoting somebody to promote them, that's no bueno.
No. And the flip side of that is if you appoint people who are always going to agree with you, you're going to stagnate. That's not an officer. That's a yes man. And it's kind of a pointless position at that point.
I kind of like them because it makes me feel better.
I don't. I don't. Any of the greeter staff knows this. I value opinion.
He ignores it most of the time, but
I'd say I might not actually do anything with it, but I still will listen to it. And you know, if your point is valid, I'll listen to you and maybe institute a few changes. But it's important. Honestly, and that's another thing is as far as being a guild leader, don't shut yourself off from opinion and feedback and be open to criticism because you hold all the cards. That doesn't mean you're the czar. I've seen guilds disband over exactly that reason where the guild master is holding too tight of reins on the guild leadership and the members, people will leave. All there is to it, officers will quit, members will leave, you'll have an exodus, and it's not going to go very well for you. And exoduses happen all the time.
Now,
it's going to happen.
For the people who listen to us a lot, you may be thinking to yourself, this sounds really, really familiar. And there's a reason for that. We covered this during our raid leader episode. Guess what? Same things apply.
Yes. Yes.
Just on a bigger scale.
Just on a larger scale because we're what? Max 25 in a raid right now?
You can go up to 30.
You can go up to 30. Okay. So you got 30 people on your raid team, including yourself. guilds have a cap of 900 or 1,000.
Yep.
And something we push continually in Convert to Raid. But yeah. Managing 30 people versus managing 700 people, big difference.
Big difference. Are the same, but
yeah, principles are the same. Don't be a dick and be clear. And it's all about communication. Having come to Convert to Raid, that is a whole other piece. if you think managing 1,000 people is bad, try managing 6,000 plus. I don't know how our GM does it, other than he's really good at delegating to people. Some in some cases very poorly delegation to people like me. But
yeah,
it's rough. But again, the entire community loves our GM, and if you're doing things right, your community will love you. It's very satisfying. So. Appoint the best officers, I guess, is kind of what we're going down to. Appoint the best as far as the health of your guild. They may not agree with you, but being open to criticism and open to opinion, you'll be able to see where there's value in their opinion and value in what they say we should do as GMs. So bear that in mind. It's can be at some points it's gonna be very rough to accept. They may have some very harsh words for you, but ultimately will be very rewarding. So that being said, that's the good officers. We'll always offer valid opinions. Well, let's talk about corruption.
Corruption? In WoW? No. There's none of that.
Never. It will happen. Even through the most tenuous process of appointing officers, you're going to run across corruption. Because nobody's infallible.
Now, define corruption. Where are you going with that? What are you thinking, you know, stealing from the guild bank or, you know, doing the forming a clique?
All of the above. Seriously, stealing from the guild bank is one thing. Gear distribution, showing a bias, especially in a raid team for a smaller guild, is a lot more present because typically your raid leaders are also going to be officers. Gear distribution, favoritism, stealing from guild bank, being a dick in trade chat. There are a number of things, especially if your charter says be cool to everybody. I have not logged into trade chat in a while, but I've still keep an eye on the global channels for people being jerks, and you will run across it. Now, thankfully, I've never run across a fellow officer currently who's been a complete dick in a public channel, but the possibility is always there because there's nothing preventing them from doing it other than you. Players will, the report function in World of Warcraft, at least, is very good. Very simplistic. Says, hey, this person did something dumb and is being a jerk or a racist or threatening. Right click, report. Done. Yep.
You can also look up who that person is and then look their guild up and, you know, send a message to their GM. And mm-hmm. that happens a lot too.
That does. Most guilds, I shouldn't say this, but I could say the Conversion Raid actually has a Gmail account specifically for officers. And that's not a bad policy. Honestly, even for a smaller guild, put it in the guild info. It says, if you have an issue with another member, send it to this email and share that email with your officers. Let them log in and handle these things. It's a great delegation and it keeps everybody aware of everything that's going on. It works fantastically when everybody actually checks it. So recognizing and resolving, typically when you're going to have to swing that hammer, as far as officer ranks go, you're going to have to swing it hard. A light tap usually is not going to do it. Usually if you have an officer stepping out of lines, a light touch is usually all you need. But when you have to swing that hammer, you're going to have to put some force behind it. And it's going to be messy. There's no way to get around that. If somebody is stepping that far out of lines, it's going to get messy. And you're probably going to have people who, in your guild, just regular members, who are going to agree with the officer you just removed. Okay. You're open to disagree. And honestly, you don't even necessarily have to share any reason why the officer was let go. There's no obligation for that.
Depending on the infraction.
Yeah, depending on the infraction, of course. Bear in mind that I know, at least from my standpoint, as far as guild leadership goes, at least for something like Convert to Raid, is run like a business. And it's run that way because of the size. And that's the only way you ever get anything done around here, is to more or less run it like a business. The smaller guilds, you'll probably get away with a lot lighter touch. But there are going to be occasions where you have to review the administrative roles in your guild. And be honest, because you're not, as a guild leader, you are not exempt from review. In fact, I would dare say you're probably the most visible when it comes to review. So that's where it kind of ties back to appointing officers who are not afraid to give their opinions. So I think I'm pretty much done with this topic, man.
Good.
Because we've got a lot of questions to go over.
And, you know, I've been kind of quiet, but you haven't really said anything I didn't agree with. So, you know, it's been mostly you this first half.
We need to get more people in here. Some people will disagree with me.
Yeah. About that.
Yeah,
we'll visit that a little bit down the
road. Yeah, we'll visit that here in a little bit. So, on to questions and answers. We love questions. We will give you answers. Whether or not you like those answers is entirely your fault. So our good buddy Jack, we didn't hear anything from him for the last 2 weeks or so, but Jack did send an interesting question, and Moo, you put this in here, and I love it. This is a great topic.
It is.
Says Jack asks, what are your thoughts on playing a spec/role you don't prefer for the sake of raid progression? Moo, do you want to chime in on this one?
Yeah, that one I have mixed feelings of, because I've been there. If it's a one-time thing, you know, this particular day we're missing this, it'd be okay, I think. You know, especially if, you know, you plan on, you know, pushing this group. If your raid leader wants you to switch on a permanent basis, I would suggest talking to them and maybe working out and saying, I'll do this until we can recruit a permanent spot, you know, permanent person to do this, because I'm not having fun. And honestly, that's the whole purpose of raiding, to have fun. If you're not having fun, don't do it.
No. The offer, so don't do it is... That's kind of a broad term for it. Don't do it, but offer options. As far as, you know, playing a different spec or role, I'll be honest, I will refuse to play healer. I don't have fun healing, and I suck at healing.
It's because people die when you heal.
Exactly. And I'm not good at it. And there's no question about that. I suck at healing. Now, when it comes to DPSing and tanking, I don't mind switching. And especially if it helps out the raid, and this is all going to be personal opinion, I don't mind switching over to tank for a night or DPS for a week. It doesn't bother me, because I'm still raiding and I'm still helping out. And honestly, I have equal fun in both. So it still boils down to I'm having fun doing both. You know, And I've seen it before where, hey, can you switch to a tank for just this fight? Okay. I would prefer to be on my DPS or my tank, vice versa, because I need this piece of loot. But help out. Mm-hmm. What you want to watch out for in cases like that is if you switch out too much, at least as a raid leader, if you switch out too much, your raid team is going to think that alts are constantly okay.
Yeah.
And as a raid leader, you probably want to quelch that a little bit. Because typically alts are alts for a reason. They're under geared, you don't know the rotations all that well. But I did this on Tuesday where Facepole was doing their alt run. And I was talking to Echelon. I said, Echelon, I know it's alt night. My elemental shaman doesn't need anything for these particular poles. Do you mind if I bring my warrior? And he goes, well, okay, what's your item level? I said, it's 696. He said, okay, that's about right. Can you bring the DPS? You bet your sweet ass I can bring the DPS. I love my warrior. Occasionally. But honestly, the funny thing about that particular situation is I brought my warrior in and I cleaned house and then, you know, very decent DPS for having set like 10 minutes in HFC on my warrior. And it's funny because as the raid progressed, I was doing better and better and better. And no offense to Echelon, but he's not a good warrior tank. And he actually cut himself and had somebody else take over tanking. That right there is a good sign of a raid leader. That's a fantastic thing to do because, listen, I'm not pulling my weight. I'm going to have somebody else who's more experienced than this take over, and I'm going to switch over to a main so we can kill more bosses. Fantastic attitude. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. In some cases, your raid is going to need you to play something else for a boss or two. There's nothing wrong with broadening your horizons.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind also, you know, if you're saying on the same character and they're just having you change your spec, I would take that on a case by case also. Going from range to melee or vice versa shouldn't be too big of an issue. It depends on you and how you like to play, but, I know hunters are a big one where people are very wary on the specs. Mm-hmm. Because if, say, you don't have a hero, a shaman or a mage in your group, and you want to get the full hero instead of, you know, using drums, then Beast Mastery.
Yep.
You know, you may be asked to switch to Beast Mastery just for that pet. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but again, it's ultimately, I would put a restriction on it. I'll do it for now until you find, you know, a permanent fill for that particular reason.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, I think the hybrid classes have a little bit harder because we, you know, especially for druids who technically have four specs, yeah. It's harder for the true hybrid, like a druid, to switch because of the gear change out. For me to switch from guardian to feral, not a big deal because a lot of the gear will stay the same. For me to switch from guardian to resto, that's a much bigger step.
Right, because the secondary stats is what changes. I mean, they'll stay the same when you switch the gear, but the requirements change.
Right. And honestly, now, to be fair, things like a mage, your difference between an arcane and fire spec, your tertiary stats are going to still be important. But you're not going to be changing weapons. You're not going to be changing trinkets, really. It's a little easier. Whereas if I were to say, let's say I had a resto set, God forbid. most of my trinkets are going to be geared towards spirit and spell power. That doesn't translate over to bear form. So I remember back in the day, I used to have to carry three or four different sets of gear.
Oh, yeah.
And it used to be ridiculous. It's gotten a lot better.
It's still not great, though.
It's still not great. Sound great. So honestly, getting back on, when it comes to switching specs and roles for a raid, I'm all for it. I think it's a mark of a good raider to be willing to do that. Even on the sole role classes like hunters and mages and warlocks, it's if your raid leader asks you to do it, they probably have a good reason.
As a raid leader, though, you shouldn't expect somebody to stay that way, though.
Right. This is a temporary solution. Now, if as a raid leader, you have somebody who wants to change roles, why not? I mean, honestly, the raid composition is so loose nowadays, at least, you know, before Mythic, that it's not going to hurt that much, especially with everything being flexed now. it's a lot easier to adapt mm-hmm. accordingly. When it comes to changing tunes completely, yeah, I got to be a little more careful there, because let's say you just spent 3 or 4 weeks gearing this one tune, and all of a sudden the person wants to bring in their, they want to switch mains, and their main, their new main is so horribly undergeared. That's a setback. Their performance may still be good, but gear, I know, is still easy to get, but gear is still a setback if you have to gear up a brand new person. And that goes, honestly, that goes into recruiting new members as well to your raid. But enough about that. So let me take a look at Catalysis here. Let's see here. So Catalysis is a fan of the show. I've talked to him in game a couple times, and I think he asked to step in for guest hosting. But is there any advice you could offer someone with the muscle memory and tendencies to raid every night and all weekend before he became a dad? Now that he's back in the game and looking to find a raid team that he can fit into a much more limited schedule, to maybe even 1 day/nights a week. I am not a father that I'm aware of.
We hope not.
Moo. Yeah. Moo, can you chime in on this one?
Well, as far as I can see from what he's asking is, I kind of condensed down the question. So sorry. He was away from WoW for quite some time uh-huh. and he's coming back, and he used to be a hardcore raider, used to raid all the time. And so he built up his muscle memory and, his style, so to speak. He wants to know, the way I'm reading this, he wants to know what's the best way to rebuild those tendencies, those muscle memories, to get back into raiding just on a more limited schedule. I think we kind of covered that a little bit in some of the previous episodes in terms of going back to some of the older content, soloing, learning relearning your abilities, because there have been changes since, if you take any kind of break, there's always changes.
Yep.
So you want to just relearn your abilities, relearn your cooldowns and such. Go into some BGs, just play around, if you can deal with the toxicity of some of the players there.
Yeah, that's true. Effective toilet time.
Yeah. Research.
Icy Veins I love Icy Veins. Does great for stat priority, rotations, situationals. Does great if you have the time to read it on the toilet or on break or during a smoke break. Whatever. They're also, and believe it or not, there are a ton of podcasts out there that you can listen to in the car.
Really?
Shocking, right?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? There are lots of resources out there available that you can actually look at without having to be in game. Time management is a huge issue for a lot of people. And I'll be honest, I'm not good at it. Time management is not great for me, but I also don't have a child or really a heavily demanding job. So it's easy for me.
That's one of the good things about going back and doing some of the older content though, having a child, speaking as a dad, you can go in there and start doing a boss. And for a lot of the stuff, depending on which ones you do, you can actually step away for a second and still come back and be alive. So it's a little bit more forgiving.
It is.
Not that I've done that or anything. Of course, with the way my tanks are set up, don't tell my raid leaders this, but I've actually stepped away in the middle of a current content boss fight and not had any issues.
I plead the fifth.
I'll admit
I've stepped away. Yeah, I've stepped away for other things. I mean, just the other night, I stepped away from trash pulls to deal with an officer situation. But as far as rebuilding, really the fastest way to do it is to raid.
Yeah. And to be honest, chances are it's like anything else. For the most part, you used to do it so much. Once you get back to it, I'm sure it'll come right back to you.
Oh, yeah.
A few changes here, a few changes there, but the basics, they'll come right back.
Yeah. Don't stand in front of a cleaving boss.
don't stand in fire. Recognize a burn phase. All the things that you remember from back when you used to raid hardcore are still going to apply. Ganks might be a little bit different, but you can build on those core mechanics into current content pretty quickly. As long as you have that muscle memory, you can build up on it. And we run across this in current content all the time, where people who don't know, and I'm a victim of this too. I don't know the current content all that well, but I am learning and I have good core mechanics. Recognizing in, I'm trying to remember, was it Fellord Zakun in HFC? You know, the guy who does all the pillars and sends out the waves that you have to dodge, all that fun stuff. So part of that fight is dodging those waves. And somebody brought it up in raid the other day that I thought was pretty common knowledge. Before the, you know, if you're not watching timers, which I usually don't, I watch for animations. When those waves are going to come out, before those waves even hit the ground, I'm watching for his animation that says he's about to cast the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell that he has already targeted who he's going to send these waves at, which means he's going to send them that way. I can go ahead and start moving out of the way of those waves. Now, it sounds minor because you're talking about 1 or 2 seconds, but on a heroic or mythic level, that's all the time you have.
And that makes a huge difference. 1 or 2 seconds is the equivalent of getting hit, not getting hit.
Yeah.
Now, normal, you get hit, you take 1, 2 ticks, that you can usually deal with that. You get heroic and higher, that starts to tickle.
And honestly, watching the timers is not going to be as accurate as boss animations.
No, because DBM, I'm not sure if it's something with the coding on the game or something with DBM itself, but their timers have been off a lot this expansion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because it's going to vary between difficulties, so I can understand timers are going to be a little hard to narrow down, but boss animations, face changes. Yeah. Boss animations and face changes will never lie. Third-party add-ons like DBM or Bigwigs, you don't control the timers on those. So trust, honestly, truthfully, you could raid without those. Probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
But you could. I've raided without DBM before. It's not impossible. It's a handy tool, but as far as core mechanics go, you don't necessarily need it.
Yeah, just don't rely on it. Although, talking about DBM and timers, found out a nifty little thing that they changed with it. Break timers.
Mm.
You have people, you know, sometimes will log off, go do something on their alt during break. Well, the DBM timers will follow you when you change characters now.
Really?
Yes. So there's no more. How much longer do we have? DBM is right there and it'll tell you.
So if I were to, let's say somebody put up a break timer for Ursangus of 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just say. And then I switched over to Varmint, my hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That timer will still appear on Varmint?
Yes, and it will be accurate. How they managed to get that, I don't do coding. I don't know how they figured out how to do it, but they did, and that is amazing.
That is cool as shit. I like that.
I found that out totally by accident. I went to make somebody a gem. And all of a sudden, as soon as I logged in, DBM timer says, pops up, break remaining, the, you know, 5 minutes and 32 seconds. Like, holy shit, really?
I love that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Congrats to the DBM guys. I know it's a minor thing. That's a quality of life adjustment.
Yes. And it is amazing.
I love it. That's awesome. I'll have to actually, anybody who listens to this podcast, share that. That's awesome. So anyway, the other thing that we have one last question here, from, and I know I'm going to butcher this here, from Wickedella. This is a raid leader of Just Wipe It, from one of our converted raid guilds. Asks, what would you recommend to a team who is still forming as far as recruiting is concerned? Also, is 80% attendance requirement too much when we only raid 2 days a week for 3 hours at a time? And I know we condensed down this message. I remember vaguely the entire email. Thank you for the long email, Wickedella. So as far as your questions go, though, as far as recruiting is concerned, I know you're trying to recruit for Legion. And I have some kind of pointed opinions about this one. Recruiting is rough right now. It's end of expansion blues. Legion is supposedly right around the corner. People are playing other Blizzard games. They're playing other games, period. And that kind of works in your favor. I know it's going to seem really weird to say this, but the people who don't hang around for the end of expansion, how reliable are they going to be? And granted, okay, are they right to step away from the computer because they're not having fun? Yes. Does that hurt them for reliability when it comes to getting those last few bosses during an expansion? Yeah. The person who leaves, you know, 3-4 months before an expansion ends, that's not reliable. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to be a hypocrite because I've felt like stepping away from the game once or twice. I have other responsibilities in the game that keep me from doing that, but I still have fun with those things. And there's other content in the game that I enjoy without having to do in-game bosses. I have a blast just talking to people in guild. I have a blast doing pet battles, doing exploring, doing treasure hunting. What?
You don't talk to people in guild. You troll them.
Whatever. I mean, I love bear puns, okay? And I love engaging in guild chat. As a semi-leader of our community, I love engaging guild members when they're not demanding something of me.
Yeah. Now, honestly, the biggest thing I can give you suggest is don't quit recruiting. But don't limit yourself to just server. You know, if you're trying to do a raid and you're missing that one or two people, go into the group finder and find some people to fill that. You can find and will find people that want to permanently join your group. Now, as long as you're not doing mythics, they don't have to be on the server, so they can continue raiding with you week after week after week. Eventually, they will server transfer. The raid team I'm on Friday and Saturday nights, Nearly Indestructible, we've actually got that happening on two people. They started raiding with us. They like raiding with us because the way we raid, we're serious, but we're not anal. And that's what they're looking for. And they have not been able to find that because, you know, a lot of you have gone through pugs and you know how they can be. You know, you've got the, you know, just doing your fresh run, you're just doing the first four bosses, but you're acquiring ahead of the curve. It's kind of, there are groups like that, and that kind of puts you off from raiding. So people are looking for new homes. And yeah, you will find people that way as well.
Oh, so especially at the end of an expansion, they're all over the place.
Oh, yes. And you know, if you can show that, you know, your group will be sticking around and your guild, which, biased CTR fits this, you know, description, but if your group, your guild is helpful and supportive as well, you will get people transferring to be with you, to run with you, and you'll have that core group. If not for right now, you'll have that core group set up for the next expansion.
Right. And so to kind of break this down though, as far as CTR is concerned, we have 10 co-guilds because that's how many we need to include all the members.
Yeah.
However, when it comes to raid teams inside of CTR, and I think you picked up on this too, Moo, is everybody has kind of a mini guild when it comes to raid teams. That's why when you see teams advertise and convert to raid, they've got brackets on the sides of their raid teams. They're essentially their own little mini guild at that point. So, yes, we are biased in convert to raid because we are such a large community and people transfer here all the time because of that community. But you don't have to be big. You know, you don't have to be convert to raid to advertise like that.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
God, no. The community, you can form the same kind of community we have in convert to raid with 200 people in a guild. Easily.
Do it with 100 people.
Yeah, you can do it with 30. The community is what you build it up to be. So you're a lot of advertisements will actually point out how many bosses they are deep. Now, granted, there is a limit to how much you can talk in trade chat. The forums, however, especially the World of Warcraft forums, don't have a limit.
Mm-mm.
You can advertise the shit out of your guild or raid team there and include all the things you want to say. Trade chat, not a good place to recruit.
No. And with the forums also, you know, other people will form, hey, I'm looking for this. So you can be able to contact them directly. Hey, you fit what we're looking for. Why don't you try out with us?
Right. I know, at least in the CTR forums, we have a free agents section explicitly for that.
Yeah, the CTR forums, though, are starting to die out, though, with the new thing that we got.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you have to be part of CTR for that.
Yeah.
So this is not a CTR advertisement.
No.
We love our guild.
It's just what we have the most experience with right now.
Yeah. We love CTR, but this is not an advertisement for CTR. It has its problems, too.
Yeah, and you may not like that huge community, which is fine.
Right.
You know, most of our raid teams don't require you to try to join the guild.
No.
Just show up on time.
Show up on time, and we don't really lock up Mumble as far as that goes. I mean, we try to keep it governed more or less, but you don't have to be in CTR to be on a CTR team. You know, we keep things pretty open. And honestly, when it comes to poking, you know, as far as for your raid team goes, you don't have to stay in guild. You don't have to stay on server. Keep your options open. Now, is it going to be handy to recruit somebody from guild because you already know they should be somewhat good? Yeah. It saves you a lot of screening. But don't limit yourself like that. So I think that's my final thoughts on that particular question. Why don't we move on to this other one here?
Yeah, the 80% attendance requirement. You're rating 2 days a week, 3 hours at a time. So that's 6 hours a week. You're requiring an 80% attendance. I think that's pretty reasonable. That's actually kind of on the low side, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the people that are missing are giving you notice.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it as work. Unexcused absences can result in termination.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
I honestly, I'm kind of with Moo on this one. I think the 80% is actually a little bit light, especially for only 2 days a week. If you were doing 5 days a week, 80% would make more sense. But it kind of depends on how you compound it, I guess.
You also got to keep in mind, you know, what we just talked about, end of expansion, you know, it's everybody's kind of going through that lull. So 80%, I think, for right now is a low but acceptable. I think once the new expansion comes out and you guys start rating in the new expansion, I would 100%. Definitely up that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With the attendance being down like it is right now for everybody, and it's not just your raid team.
No, it's not.
Everybody. At the end of expansion, the attendance boss will wipe more raid teams than any boss in game. And it's a matter of fact. Personally, I played Heroes of the Storm this morning for 3-4 hours instead of World of Warcraft. Did I have a raid to attend? No. But set aside, I'd say as far as attendance goes, you kind of have to gauge how bad, as far as setting a attendance percentage goes, you kind of have to gauge on if so-and-so weren't able to make it, how badly is that going to affect our progression? And you can adjust accordingly. If your tanks are having attendance problems, that's going to hurt more than a DPS.
Yeah.
And you also have to look at player skill when it comes to that as well. If your underperforming raiders are not showing up as often as your core raiders, you're not going to have that bad of a time. And so it kind of rolls back to criticism and looking at how they perform. You know your raid team. If the low level, you know, underperformers are not going to be showing up as often, you could probably still stick at 100%. But if your high rankers, your top performers are having an attendance problem, you might want to drop it a little bit. Because you do not want your raid team to become a revolving door. because then you're never going to get any sort of cohesiveness between your raid members and your raid leaders. And you're always going to have to be teaching the fights to new people. And that really sucks. Whereas, you know, 3 weeks ago, we were just, you know, one-shotting this boss all the time. Well, then I had to let five people go and I had to train five new people. And now we're putting in eight or nine attempts on this boss before killing it. That's rough.
Yeah.
Treat your raid members fair. If you're showing up for raid, why aren't they?
That's about it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like using a point system as far as that goes. As far as attendance goes, I do not like using any sort of point system, whereas, oh, I show up 100% of the time, why don't you? It's not really fair because there's, you know, you're in a different situation than they are. But keep an open mind.
Yeah. Ultimately, it goes back to communication, too. Like, if you have stuff pop up, hey, real life happens, shit happens, let somebody know. It's a lot better to, you know, let them know ahead of time than to just not show up. Because then people start wondering, well, are they okay? Are they ever coming back?
Yeah. I can tell you that 80% seems to be pretty much the standard anymore. If you're looking at 50%, you're doing something wrong. Yeah. I've never seen a raid team succeed at 50% attendance required. 100% can lead to a lot of stress. So 80% is about right. I would say for 6 hours a week, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're doing that on a monthly basis, 80% attendance, not a bad idea. So anyway, I hope that answers your question. If you guys have any further questions, please reach out to us. We'll give you the contact information at the end of the cast here. And I see a show note here, and I'm not sure how this came about, but something about Ursangus and debauchery. What is this about, Moo?
Well, we have had a couple people contact us in regards to guest hosting while you're reveling in debauchery, otherwise known as visiting BlizzCon. If other people are still interested, you still have time to submit your request or application, whatever you want to call it. It just notifies that you're interested. We'll be talking about it and deciding who we're going to have on about the 18th of October. And, you know, that way we can have time to contact the person, make sure they have things set up and contact information so we can get this going. If you do submit and are not chosen to do the guest hoster in October or guest hoster in BlizzCon, mm-hmm. Don't worry. After BlizzCon, we plan on having a lot more guests come on.
Oh, yes, we do. And I am so excited because I can only deal with so much of Moo every week.
Yeah, feelings mutual, buddy. Trust me.
Yeah, indeed. And honestly, I was talking to a couple people earlier this morning who are interested as well. As far as guests go, we're going to kind of kick it off with me being out. But as far as roles go, here's what we want to hear from for guests. New raiders, old raiders, raid leaders, people who don't raid at all. We're looking for roles, healers, soul DPS, hybrid classes. Honestly, you don't even have to play WoW. Yeah, seriously, it might help, but you don't even have to play WoW. You can play WildStar, which turned out to be a lot more interesting than I thought it would be now that the servers are stable. If you play Minecraft, if you play any game that has any sort of social aspect, come join us. We love opinion and we love questions. I would love nothing more than to talk to somebody who's never played World of Warcraft about World of Warcraft. It's such an interesting conversation because they have no idea what a raider is. They have no idea what a druid is or what a tank is, all these different roles. To explain that to somebody who's never been involved in World of Warcraft before, you try it sometime. And you will hear some very interesting explanations and terms come out of your mouth. Because these are people who have never touched it before.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're a closet WoW player. Shame on you.
It's time to come out. It's old enough.
It's old enough. Almost everybody knows what it is except for, hell, even my grandma knows what World of Warcraft is. come out. The community now, as far as video gamers, has gotten so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And before we head to BlizzCon, I do want to do an episode about BlizzCon and not necessarily the events there, but what it means to go to BlizzCon and what it means to go to a convention, how to prepare for it. So look forward to that. I'm going to be writing up a significant amount of show notes for that one. I did a guest spot on BlizzCon Countdown the other day with Hawkeye, and I had a blast doing that one. I would love for some of our listeners to hear that as well. So anyway, really, I think that wraps it up for us. Do you have anything else?
Actually, yeah. While I was trolling around the internet and Twitter, I came across a parody that was done recently. It was done to the tune of Make a Man Out of You from Mulan. But it was actually I'll Make a Raider Out of You. It was actually done pretty well. I just wanted to throw that in there and give the guy props for this because people don't do parodies that much anymore. And if it's done well, it's something that should be shared. It was done by a guy named Diliana. He is a guardian druid. So of course, automatically he wins.
You win, buddy.
He's also a raid leader from the guild Ember, which also is on Airy Peak, which all of this is very big coincidences here.
That's odd. I didn't think there were any guilds on Airy Peak other than Converter Raid.
You wouldn't think there were, but there are. So he's, I talked to him a little bit during, earlier in the week. He said he is planning on doing more. So you can check out, their Twitter at Ember the Guild. That's, Ember with a Y, EMBYR, the Guild. And they'll be doing, or he'll be doing a lot more, parody stuff. And I'm going to put that at the end of the show. So please stick around and listen to it. And definitely, you know, let them know how you feel about that.
Yeah. I listened to a little bit of it. And I got to admit, the guy is a whiz at editing, singing. Well, he's really good at editing.
Hey, he's better than I am. Definitely. But don't let that, deter you. If you listen to some of the older parodies that went on during the height of, I guess you say, of WoW, you know, back in what, 07, 08?
Some of them were. Yeah. So no, but absolutely props to you for doing it. It is bold. And, I always wanted to do kind of a parody myself of that particular song. So good job, man.
Yep.
Good job. Let's hear some more.
Please.
I love parodies, and we're huge fans on Battle Res Bears. We are huge fans of parody titles. If you haven't noticed already.
Yes.
So please, if you have any submissions or anything you like to display on the show, I love doing promos. I love listening to promos. Send it to us. If you have a podcast, send it to us. I don't think, Moo, you wouldn't mind putting something in there, would you?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, guild recruitment, raid team recruitment, we'll throw it in there too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you have opinions, and honestly, if you have a question you want to send us via voice, do that too. That's just the same as guesting.
Yeah.
And another perk to guesting, and I think Moo might slightly disagree with me on this. If you listen to our podcast, we have a disclaimer at the beginning of every podcast about adult language. If you are a guest, I would love for you to read that disclaimer.
And by we would love for you to read that disclaimer? No, you will read the disclaimer because that is going to be everybody's heads up that, hey, somebody else is going to be on the show.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to bring our first guests on. And I don't know who it's going to be yet.
Not sure either.
But I know Navox, even though he's not playing World of Warcraft anymore, has agreed to guest for us at one point. I can't wait to bring him on.
Oh, yeah. That guy's got some energy.
Yeah. Belschnickel, probably not so much. Bill, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But we will bring on anybody who is charismatic and is passionate about a topic. And
I don't know. Maybe we could let the guests decide what the topic will be that week.
Yeah. I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah. So we'll give that a shot. So anyway, that will do it for us, guys. You can always reach us on Twitter at BattleResBears. That's Res with a Z. You can always email us, BattleResBears@gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter. That's at Ursangus. That's U-R-S-A-N-G-U-S. And Moo, how can they pick your butt?
I hope you don't. but if you want to talk to me, you can always reach me on Twitter at Moodala. That's M-O-O-D-A-H-L-A. I've been kind of lax at it lately, but I do stream my raids on twitch.tv/Moodala.
So that's going to do it for us, guys. Have a great raid.
Enjoy your raiding and enjoy the song at the end. Have a good one.
Let's get down to raiding. I need my trinket. Did they send me casuals when I want the best? You're the saddest bunch I've ever met, but you can bet before we're through, somehow I'll make raiders out of you. Follow all mechanics, maintain DPS. Wait, stop interrupting, now it's all a mess. I don't know why sometimes I do try, we should be on Archimond. I don't know what is going wrong.
Everyone on. Make sure you're not standing near that explosion.
Get the star.
The infernal's down.
Burn. Keep yourself alive.
Melee, watch out.
Please wait.
Popping ring.
Once the ads are down, pop everything.
Hero. Pop ring.
Five.
Potions.
Save a life.
You must be quick with the Eye of
Focus.
Oh god, don't get hit with latent, please.
Move the boss.
Why is there only the tank in banish? Just wipe it up. And then we'll try again.
Time is racing towards us till Legion arrives. Heed my every order and we might survive. We're unsuited for a mythic tour, but we're probably gonna try. Please don't make me break down and cry.
Save a life.
You must be quick with the Eye of
Anguus.
Oh god, don't get hit with latent, please. Why is there only the tank in banish? Just wipe it up and then we'll try again.
Save a life.
Oh, hey, we got the Eye out in
focus
time.
Us.
Oh, no one got hit by cavitate.
Move the boss.
Oh my god, Arky's at 10%. We did it, you guys. And wait, why'd he reset?